This podcast replay is brought to you by HialeahParkCasino.com, your entertainment destination. Casino, poker, dining, and simulcast racing so you can wager on some of the best tracks in the country. Go to HialeahParkCasino.com to sign up for promotions, giveaways, and events.
Alrighty, alrighty. Welcome aboard. Welcome back. It's hour number two of the program. And by the way, we've got some good news. Nova Southeastern has finished their game, and they have won. So they have advanced, I think, to the finals here. Let me give you the 91-77. So they will await the winner of Minnesota State and West Texas A&M. So congratulations to Coach Crutchfield and the Sharks. How about that, Michelle? Pretty awesome for that program. I mean,
look, last March was very exciting for them and for Miami and FAU. And right now, Miami didn't make the tournament. FAU got bounced early, but Nova's still in there doing their thing. So, you know, representing South Florida in the basketball, college basketball world.
That is freaking awesome. Awesome, awesome. Hey, before I get into Inter, okay, those of us that have been around for a while and you interact with this woman, Katie Meyer, it's just, you know, a pleasure. And she's awesome. And she'll never say this, but because I've watched all these other gentlemen, and maybe it's going to translate to women's game too because the NIL is there, I just wonder that I'm watching all these coaches walk away from head coaching jobs and all this stuff because they're kind of like this new wave of being a coach that you kind of have to be a 24-hour babysitter all year and everybody's worried about their playing time or they're transferring. I wonder if that also was something that wore on her. What do you think? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, I definitely think so. Katie Meyer has always said and said again when I spoke to her about her retirement that her secret sauce, as she calls it, you know, her secret sauce has always been relationships, building teams based on relationships. And, you know, and Coach L is the same.
Same, I mean, one.
Coach L's best teams have been teams where he took guys and helped develop them. And he has been able to get a couple of transfers each year of the good years where they advanced far. And he did sprinkle in a couple of transfers, but he always had a base and a foundation of a team of people who believe in him and his system. And Katie Meyer, same way, you know, she said to me, you know, Michelle, what I love is seeing a kid at 13 and thinking, wow, that looks like it could be a prospect. And then you start to follow them. And then in high school, you start recruiting them and you meet their families and you get to know them. And then they put their trust in you and you put your trust in them and they come to the University of Miami and very proudly wear that U on their shirt. And you know, they're there because they love the university and they love what she represents and her staff and, you know, and the kids stay and they learn and they develop and they get better. And you have an idea. I spoke to Coach L also in the last couple of weeks about, you know, him basically thinking that he's going to probably have to replace almost his entire team because if guys don't get the minutes they want, they just throw up their hands and say, I'm done. I'm out. I'm going somewhere else. I want, you know, more minutes. I want more NIL money. I want whatever. And they don't develop. And the truth is that of the guys who left UM last year after the Final Four season, only one of the four, Harlan Beverly, he had a slightly better statistics there. He got more playing minutes than he would have in Miami, but maybe he would have also gotten those minutes in Miami. My opinion, he would have, because he was already a player who was increasing his minutes year by year. And I think this third year he would have gotten a lot of playing time, but he chose to go elsewhere. The other three who went elsewhere, you know, Favor Ira, he got 1 point and one rebound at UM, and he got 1 point and one rebound at his new school. And now he's in the transfer portal again, to which I would say, maybe the problem is not the school. Maybe look yourself in the mirror. If you're getting one, you're 6'11", and you're getting 1 point and one rebound at two different schools, maybe you need to work a little bit more on your game, just right. Saying. So, you know, I do think back to your question about Katie. Katie is a people person. She's a relationship person. And, you know, the idea that she brings in transfers and, you know, whether it be the Cavender twins or the transfers she had this year, you know, Cheyenne Day Wilson and LaMaya, you know, I'm missing the third one. Three transfers came in. And I think they were going to, you know, just like Haley and the twins came 1 year, they're in, they're out. This year, the new girls who came were going to be in, they were going to be out. I think maybe she just thought, you know what, I'm 56 years old, which is younger than me. So I think of that as young, but she's 56. And she said, you know, she wants to still lead. She loves college athletics. She loves the University of Miami, and she's going to stay at UM in a different role as a sort of ambassador, fundraiser, mentor, you know, administrator type person. But the thought of Katie giving up coaching, knowing how much she loves coaching, like Coach L said that his favorite time of day is practice. He loves practice. And he said he will retire the day that practice is no longer fun. So, you know, but Coach L and Katie both have said that it's just not, coaching college sports right now is not the same as it used to be. There's no, you know, you can't develop a team, you can't develop chemistry, you can't develop players if every single year you have to get new players and you are literally recruiting every single year.
Yeah.
And I hear some people say, well, but, you know, there are coaches who leave also. And that's true. Not every single year. You know, if there was a coach who every single year went to a new team, I would say that coach probably there's an issue. And I would say if a player, an athlete is changing schools every single year, there's something messed up about that. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I figured that's
I'm old school.
And a lot of these coaches are old school. So the new way is just, it's just too hands-on. It gets to a point where you're really almost at a disadvantage on a consistent basis. And so that's why it kind of wears on you. And I'm afraid, by the way, for Coach L's future, because he says he could talk a good game about being practice being fun, but this is going to kill your practice, the fact that people don't stay around. So if you're not allowed as an architect to put the building blocks together, to put the building together, then you're not able to build anything of a foundation. And if you're a coach the same way, you're not able to build a foundation, how in the hell do you build a team? And so his best teams he said it himself, I'm stealing his line. His best teams are the ones that were there for several years and getting better and all throughout, you know, that's kind of what it was, like the Larkin team.
You looked at Isaiah Wong. I mean, when you look at Isaiah Wong, right. I watched anyone who watched this program over the previous 4 years, Isaiah Wong as a freshman was a very, you know, he was a freshman. He was not that good as a freshman. He got better as a sophomore. He got even better as a junior. And then, you know, ends up, you know, being the ACC player of the year.
Right.
If he had left after 1 year because he wasn't playing that much and wasn't doing that much as a freshman, if he had left, he would never have reached. He was drafted by the NBA. You know, I mean, he's with the Pacers, you know, with the G League and all that, development league. I mean, he would not have reached this point. He would not have been ACC player of the year, in my opinion, if he had left UM. He stayed here. He let Coach L and his staff work with him. He got better every single year. And by his final year, he was voted the top player in the entire ACC.
I used the Larkin example too, because that Larkin team, outside of Larkin himself, he was the youngin, but outside of that, it was like a seasoned team that he was developing over a couple of years, and they were able to have success. And that's kind of always been his thing. So I really am nervous for Larinaga, because this can't be fun anymore. This part can't be fun, that you have to babysit these guys and constantly talk them off the ledge from transferring or leaving, because things didn't go their way for this.
Oh, yes. Please, please, please stay with us. Please stay. Yeah, oh, yeah. We think you're so great. And and they're hearing from their friends. And everyone has agents now because of NIL. All the college athletes have agents. And, you know, the agents are all telling them, oh, man, you know, you're not playing here. That's because of the coaching. Now, if you were playing somewhere else, you would have better numbers and you would get a higher NIL deal and la, 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 you know. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's going to be some rude awakenings in the next few years. There are going to be some rude awakenings. I will say Coach L did get some positive news just today. A couple hours ago, Nigel Pack announced that Pack is back.
Yep.
Nigel Pack is coming back for a fifth season. They also signed a transfer from Virginia Tech,
Lynn
a 6'11 center, Lynn Kidd, 6'11 center. Who was among the top most improved players in the ACC this year. I think 13 points and 6 or 7 rebounds a game and really, really improved. And 67-point shooter, 67% shooting, which led the ACC. He had the highest percentage shooting percentage. So he's obviously a guy who can score inside. And Norchad Omir remains to be seen. I am hearing from people in the know that he's seriously considering coming back. You know, he has to wait and see what he hears from the NBA. But if he hears what he heard last year, he may be back as well. So they may get Norchad and Nigel Pack back, which would be huge. And, you know, they would have to rebuild around those two guys because they pretty much lost everybody else.
I love Norchad. I hope he does come back. I think he needs one more year, but he is a stud to watch. All right, let's move to Inter.
Yes,
Michelle. And this is not hindsight. I was not a fan of this preseason, and I think this preseason took a toll on them. And I get it, man. They spent a bunch of money, and they got to make it back, and all that kind of stuff. But you know, look where you're. You know, last year you wore the man out, and he ended up kind of broken down. And now you're starting the season, and you kind of wore the man out because the travel and the play and the demand and all. Dude, you're only a human being, and he's already in his mid-30s. It's just kind of sad to see.
Almost that, late 30s. He's going to be 37 soon.
Yeah. It's just kind of sad to see that, you know, you're kind of hurting your chances because of what's going on. And then, you know, part two of that question, you've become so top-heavy that your defense, man, I know they just signed somebody now, but, man, your defense, outside of calendar, there just isn't enough people to protect. And you're so top-heavy offensively that you lack so much defensively, there's an imbalance with the team, too. So two things that I think have kind of taken them a little off-kilter in this early part of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it really is a different team. I mean, it seems obviously so obvious that their team is better when Messi's playing than when he's not. Duh, right? Of course. But it really, really is. I mean, this season just alone, we'll just talk about this season, let alone the end of last season, they did not win 7 straight. They went winless for 7 games without Messi. Now this year, they are undefeated through 5 games with him. 5 games that he played, they're undefeated. The 3 games that he did not play, they lost 2 of the 3. And the one the other day against New York was a complete disaster. So the team is much better with Messi than without, not only for what he personally does with the ball, but also he elevates everybody else on the field. When he's on the field, they all just have this feeling that something good is going to happen, and they run harder and they play better, and it's just a better team when he's out there. And, you know, as far as balancing his minutes now, the problem is they have all these cups, and, you know, Tata has said from the beginning of this season that the priority is going to be on the most urgent games first and the less urgent games next. So right now, for example, right now, we're still in March. The Champions Cup is a $5 million cup, and they are already in the quarterfinals. So, you know, they're in the quarterfinals of a $5 million cup. If they win it, they get to play in the World Cup Club Championship next summer, which is being held in the United States. It's a prestigious tournament. So right now, if he's choosing between playing Messi in the Champions Cup games, which are do or die urgent games, or play him against New York and against New York again this Saturday, this early in the season when the MLS season goes on until the end of November. He is going to hold him. He's going to rest him. So it is possible that Lionel Messi could be healthy enough to play this Saturday. Will he? I would guess no, because next Wednesday they're going to play Monterrey, the Mexican team, here at home in the opening leg of a two-leg, you know, do-or-die Champions Cup. So Tata is sort of, you know, definitely, prioritizing the cup right now, the Champions Cup, over the MLS season, figuring that there's no room for error, is how he worded it. There's no room for error with Champions Cup. There is room for error in an MLS season that goes on until the end of November. So even if they were to lose two or three games, they can catch up with those later. If they lose two games here, they're out of this tournament. So Some of this is managing when he's going to play and when he's not. I wouldn't say that we know for sure that he's totally broken down right now and couldn't play.
No.
He was out there jogging around last week. You know, I think, you know, he has a hamstring issue, and we know from all sports, hamstrings are complicated. You don't want to mess with those. So they are not going to play him unless they feel they have to play him. The problem is, the rest of the team is good enough. To be honest with you, let's say that Messi had chosen to go to Saudi Arabia or to go to Barcelona. If you were to have told anybody who follows this team that this team is going to have Luis Suarez, Sergio Busquets, and Jordi Alba, and Campana, and Drake Calendar, whatever, on this team, and Redondo, who's supposed to be, you know, this rising Argentine
Kromoski hasn't played yet, okay?
He hasn't played yet. He's injured. And Diego Gomez has looked very good this year as well. And he was one of the leaders of the Paraguay national team. He's going to, you know, be playing for their under-23s in the Olympics. So you have enough with this team. You do have enough to win without Messi. And so, my opinion, the problem really, the defense has been very, very suspect.
Terrible.
You know, now this last game, Drake wasn't there. Drake was with the U.S. national team. That is another issue that MLS needs to fix. My opinion and the opinion of many people. If MLS wants to be considered one of the, you know, serious leagues in the world, then during the FIFA windows, you pause your play. You don't play through the FIFA windows. None of the other leagues in Europe are playing through FIFA windows. That is a 1 or 2 week period where you are supposed to not play for your club. You are required by FIFA to play for your country. And MLS just continues to play on through. You know, MLS didn't have that many national team players.
Yeah, but we're screwed because we play the season at the wrong time. And that's because the NFL is going on. But really, right now. I know. But
Now, EPL is going on. Right now, we're in March. Yeah. I'm not talking about summer. Okay. Right now in March, they just had a six-day window in which the leagues in Europe were in season.
That's true. Yes.
But they stopped for FIFA. MLS decides to just play on through. You know, back when they didn't have that many national team players, maybe that was made sense. And maybe they even thought, hey, there won't be any other matches going on. Let's showcase our league during this window when everybody else is dead. But now when you have the New York Red Bulls were missing six players, including five starters.
Yeah.
Inter Miami was missing six players, including five starters. Both teams were missing their starting goalkeeper. Okay. So that's a problem to me that MLS needs to start stopping. They have to stop play during the FIFA international windows, because you're also penalizing the better teams that have better players who are on national teams. If you're on an MLS team that doesn't have any national team players, you can play your full roster. If you're on an MLS team that has 6, 7, 8 national team players, you're kind of screwed during these windows. And this is going to continue the rest of this season. And this particular Miami team has 9 players who are on their national teams, and you know, potentially you could have 9 players out many of whom are starters. So that's another issue too. But that was not the issue of why they lost to New York, because New York also had six players, the exact number, and their starting keeper. I mean, it was almost identical. You know, they were not missing Messi. Okay, we'll give them that. But they came out ready to play. Lewis Morgan was unbelievable. We were always Lewis Morgan fans. You and I were always Lewis Morgan fans. And he showed why the other day. The guy had a hat trick, not only a hat trick, but the play he made on the sideline. If anybody watched that game, there was a ball was dribbling out of bounds. The Miami guys had already, you know, figured that ball's going out of bounds. Everyone watching the game probably thought that that ball is rolling out of bounds, except for one person, Lewis Morgan. It's like, no, that ball is not out of bounds yet. It's about 3 inches to go. He went racing over there like a banshee, dives down, slides, and keeps the ball in play, gets it to one of his teammates right in front of the goal, who then, you know, taps it to someone else who's wide open. And Miami was completely caught off guard, you know, for one of the four goals. So he scored three goals and set up the fourth goal with a play that was just pure desire.
Yeah.
And that's what Miami was missing. And so what I would say in conclusion, it's a very long answer, is yes, the Messi effect is going on, and the, you know, the preseason, is he tired? Is he injured? Is he this? But I still think the rest of the team needs to step up, and they are good enough. They have enough players to beat these other teams in MLS, even without Messi, but the defense, not good so far. He's been shifting formations, sometimes five in the back, sometimes four, sometimes, you know, having Noah Allen all of a sudden playing in center back. He's not a center back. They did just sign just today. Marcelo Weigon from Boca Juniors is coming over on loan for this season. He is a true right back. They lost DeAndre Yedlin. They're going to replace him with this guy. So they will have a true right back instead of, you know, they had Gressel playing back there. They had Robert Taylor, bless his heart, went back there and said, I'll do whatever I need to do for the team. They threw him back there, but they haven't had a true right back. So now they will have a true right back, but they need to develop some chemistry in the back line. You know, they lost Kamal Miller. You know, they bring in these new guys. They're shifting one day five, one day four, one day, you know, one day Noah Allen playing left back, one day Noah Allen playing center back. They need to make a decision on what their back line is so that those guys can develop a chemistry in the back and also chemistry with Drake Callender too.
Yeah.
Because that's critical. That's critical. Communication is critical on defense.
Speaking of critical, I've been critical of Mike McDaniel as a game day coach and the way he manages a game, that I think he holds his team back at times. Well, he's got a marvelous offensive mind, and I love his personality, and I love the atmosphere he's creating. He still has to grow up as a coach on game day. Just like I love Mario Cristobal, the person, the recruiter, the hard worker, the leader. But on game day, some of his decisions have just, you know, brought the team back. In fact, both coaches, if they were better, their teams would have more wins on the board. Well, I got to be as critical also with Tata. Without Messi, he's not showing me anything. You know, when I see Eric Spoelstra, when I watch Don Shula, you know, and I love this, that, you know, you and I, you know, we're cut from the classics. So when we mention Don Shula, oh, you're just old. Well, guess what? Eric Spoelstra is Don Shula in basketball. Okay? I don't care if you're giving him scrubberinis.
Yeah, you're talking. A tactician.
Yeah, yeah, I'm talking about a person that when you give him just whatever kind of ingredients, he's going to make a hell of a salad out of it, one way or another, because Larinaga does the same shit all the time. If you give him all kinds of players, he figures it out and he does it. I can't say I'm impressed with Tata minus Messi. Is that fair?
Yeah, you know, I got to say, I have a podcast also, Inside Inter Miami, and this week, there have been some little murmurings from the people writing comments, but this week after that New York game, there were a lot of Tata comments and they were not positive. There were a lot of people critical of Tata, of, you know, his substitutions, of the fact that he just keeps switching the formations. He doesn't make his mind up. And you know, that the team just, I mean, when he said himself that the other day that he was so disappointed that the team looked like it was not ready to play, that the team looked like it was, you know, didn't have the desire to compete. Okay, part of your job is to motivate your team. Hello. And then number two, you know, talking to Lawson Sunderland the other day, interesting story, by the way, that guy speaks perfect Spanish with a Castilian accent, which who knew that he went and lived in Barcelona for 5 years from age 15. He left his home in Illinois at 15 to chase his soccer dream and spent 5 years in academies in Spain with second division Spanish teams. And interesting story. I wrote a feature on him yesterday. But anyway, I asked him specifically, what did he think went wrong with the defense against New York? Why did they look so exposed? And why was Lewis Morgan able to basically do whatever he wanted, starting with the third minute of the game? And he said, well, you know, I think New York is a high pressing team. And, you know, we weren't quite ready. You know, something like, we weren't quite ready at the start of the game. It caught us by surprise. I think he actually said the words caught us by surprise. The thing is, everyone, I mean, the New York Red Bulls have always over the years been that kind of team that, you know, it's a high pressing team. That's what they always talk about with that team.
Yes.
It should not have come as a surprise. The team should have known from the opening whistle exactly what they were going to get. And especially with Lewis Morgan, the guy played on this team. Everyone knows exactly what his tendencies are and what he can do. And yeah, so I think, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, some critics have written to me emails and messages, DMs, you know, he's got to go. He's on the hot seat.
I don't think we're at
that stage. No, we're not there yet. We're just in March, but I do think that people are starting to question his decisions, or, you know, lack of, you know, making a firm decision on what style of defense he wants to play. Also being prepared, better prepared for the opponent. You know, you look at some of these other coaches, you know, the Nashville coach, Gary Smith, you look at Jim Curtin in Philadelphia, those guys, when you talk up to them, they know a lot about the individual players of the other teams, and they talk tactics a lot. I think Tata, people are going to want to see more of that. Let me just put it that way. People want to see that this team is prepared and motivated. That is what a coach is for. A coach is to prepare, to develop tactics and formations and figure out what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses. Like Coach L, like you said, play to your strengths, hide your weaknesses. That's what the coaches do. Hide your weaknesses, focus on your strengths, and Inter Miami needs to do that as a collective group. They can't just throw out Messi and his buddies out there and figure, oh, you know, these guys played on Barcelona, they're going to roll through MLS. No, they're not, because there are some good coaches in MLS who are figuring out how to play these guys. There are players in MLS who are a little bit over the awe because they're now playing Messi and friends for the second or third time. It's not the same as the first time they were on the field with them when they were like, oh, go. Right. You know, now they're like, hey, whatever. They've lost to New York. They lost to this team. They lost to that team. They're not, you know, we're not saying Messi's not the best player in the world, but we're saying this team as a team is beatable. They're vulnerable. They have some weak spots. Let's exploit them. I just think the fear factor is going to disappear the more and more other teams play them. And so they need to get better. They need to get better. It's going to be a very long season.
By the way, this is only like for you and me and very few people that would pick this up, but it wasn't only a revenge game for Lewis Morgan, but Dylan Nealis, a little Miami FC, because he played really well in that game. And
He had the assist. He had the assist on the first goal. It was Dylan Nealis to Lewis Morgan, two Inter Miami guys.
Well, I look at him more as Miami FC before I look at him. I know he had a cup of tea with Inter Miami, but he had a lot of success with those Miami FC teams that were actually pretty damn good, you know. So, you know, that was pretty cool. What do you got going on in the Herald? So Inter Miami and basketball fans can check
out. Oh, my God. What do I have? Well, first of all, I've been covering tennis for the last two weeks, too. So I still have that for the next few days. On Saturday, I'll be going from the women's final at the Miami Open straight to the Inter-Miami against NYCFC game. So I'm juggling tennis balls and soccer balls these days and a little bit of basketball thrown in with the transfer portal and with Nigel Pack's announcement. So, yeah, as far as Inter-Miami, you know, the game this Saturday coming up, let's see if they can, you know, is this going to be a trap game where they're just already thinking about next week, Monterrey, 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 because that's what all the questions have been about. But do they want to really follow up that debacle against New York Red Bulls with another loss to the other New York team, which, by the way, this New York team, New York NYCFC, is in second to last place in the whole league. They have only one win. They've scored 3 goals and Miami has scored 13 goals, which leads the league, by the way. Miami does lead the league with 13 goals, but they have allowed 9. So, you know, this is a game that could be kind of a trap game where they're playing a team that's a lowly team with a bad record, with the Champions Cup, $5 million Champions Cup that everyone's focusing on coming up on Wednesday. So are they going to be motivated? Are they going to come out and play Saturday with the desire that they need to? If they don't, I think, you know, it would be detrimental for them to lose 2 games in a row going into that Champions Cup, because then your morale is going to be down. The confidence may be down. I think they want to go into that Champions Cup on a high note. And the way to do that is to go in and just crush NYCFC at home. I mean, that would be my motivation if I were a coach or player on that team. So we'll see what happens. But there's a lot coming up now. They've got that game. Then they have the Champions Cup 2 legs over the next 2 weeks. And in between there are Colorado Rapids games. So, you know, there are 3 or 4 games in a short window. And the big question is, you know, which ones are Messi going to play?
All right, there you go. Follow her on Twitter at Koff Sports and catch her fantastic work there at the Miami Herald, as always. Michelle, have a great weekend. Don't go too crazy going all over the
all
place.
Right.
Appreciate your time.
I'm going right now to teach my class.
There you go.
Anyway, thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right,
appreciate
take care.
You. There you go. The great Michelle Kaufman from the Miami Herald talking a little Inter-Miami.